Здравствуйте, and welcome to the Soviet vending machine, our coverage of Star City. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my tovarish, Jason Snell. Hi, Jason.
Hello, comrade. Hello. Good to be here for episode 6.
Yeah, we're coming into the backstretch, and boy, not unlike For All Mankind, this show knows how to kind of amp things up. We talked about last time being a banger, and I think it continues this time. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, and also, questions get answered. Like, how come we never heard about that Venus mission on For All Mankind?
Yeah.
Like, maybe now we know.
Mm.
This is episode 6. We said all AWL in a sack.
All in a sack.
All in a sack. Not to be confused.
Sounds
with
nice.
All in a family. Let's do it. Let's jump into our recap and we'll talk a little bit. So this episode begins with Irina checking on Tanya at the apartment. She goes to the apartment that she sent Tanya to, and she basically goes in and walks around the entire place, but it's all empty. Tanya has disappeared.
And there's that, I guess she saw the picture
of
me with Brezhnev.
Yeah, me and Brezhnev just hanging out. Vamoost, we do see Tanya is leaving. She apparently, good for her, I did not remember all the instructions Valya gave. But she has remembered the instructions to the contact protocol with Valya's handler.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Meanwhile, Ludmilla, I believe, is alerted that there has been an unauthorized launch at Baikonur. And we get a little bit of
The KGB also is searching their flat.
That's right. Sorry. Ludmilla is checking the flat. Irina shows up.
Yeah.
And she is. Ludmilla is assuming that Tanya has helped Valya. And Irina finds out, probably to her consternation, that Tanya warned Valya before disappearing, and that's
plausible surprise, because she is surprised about what happened, not the part about Tanya leaving, because she facilitated that, but that she warned her husband, she warned Valya, which of course led to the whole bizarre chain of events last time.
Right, and it's bad for her because she basically, you know, Tanya is now definitely an accomplice, right? Before, Irina was kind of saving her under the guise of like, well, they're going to throw you in jail or worse because you're married to him and they'll assume you have something to do with it. Not because I believe you actually helped him in any way. But now she has helped him, which is bad for Irina because Irina, of course, has helped her. And if Tanya gets caught, Irina is going down.
Yeah.
Valya and Sasha are in Venera, and they are having a little good-natured, rapport as they run tests for mission control. Chada.
How are my eagles feeling having broken free, says the chief designer. My eagles.
I love that. Chada is space-sick from her first time up there. Ludmilla shows up at mission control and confronts the chief. And he tells her who's on the crew, and then she makes everybody leave.
Yeah.
And we have our Ludmilla and the chief have it out as they argue about things. And, you know, she tells him about that Valya is a traitor, and he's like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And she kind of leaves him with a parting shot. They're like, oh, yeah, well, he tied up your other cosmonaut pal. So, would an innocent person do that?
That's a fact that you didn't know, that Pavel was beaten and hidden in the basement. It's like, oh, no, right?
Well, that looks bad.
Launching a mission to Venus and not asking for permission is not great, but you can get away with it, but not when there's a traitor on board and the other guy got beat up and, you got played a little bit there. Although, it is kind of madness, right? It's just like, get everybody out of mission control. It's like, we got a mission here. What are you talking about? But I think part of the vibe of this whole thing is that I think this goes for a lot of Soviet story stuff, which is, why are we here? Like, there are moments where you think the whole thing exists for the KGB to have something to do. And it's like, but that's not why we're here. We're here to do space stuff. The KGB is here to provide the security. But this is the power dynamic here. It's like, it's not just who's in charge, but it's like, what is the purpose of Star City? Is the purpose of Star City for the KGB to have people to watch, or is it to do space stuff? But I think if you're in the KGB, you actually, you're in a totalitarian regime. You literally don't, the argument here is you don't care about the mission. All you care about is your power. And that is one of the fundamental flaws of operating in a system like this.
I think it's also interesting to see Ludmilla and the chief as these kind of not exactly paternal and maternal figures. It's like this is the mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
And like they go, the power dynamics go up and down
as
they each have their successes and their failures, and they are able to have more clout or more political capital depending on how things are going, right? And that can be misjudged, right? As the chief has done here, which is he thought like, hey, I'll have this huge coup, right? We're sending cosmonauts to another planet. And the Central Committee is going to love this because it shows how superior the Soviet Union is. But he's misplayed his hand because at the end of the day, the control, as you said, is more important to them than the scientific exploration, even if it is sort of the glory of the Soviet Union. And so he was riding high there for a while because with the success of the moon landing, it felt like he could kind of exercise his power, and he was very dismissive of Ludmilla in a lot of cases, but now his star is starting to plummet as Ludmilla and like her Balowick is sort of taking over, which is, well, okay, we have a security risk. However, not everything's great for Ludmilla. Our pal, the KGB lackey, Radomir Petrovsky, has arrived. We saw him in one of the previous episodes where she got called on the carpet in Moscow.
Right.
He seems to have somewhat of a science background. He's kind of smarmy. He is being sent here to oversee Ludmilla, and she is sort of playing her cards close to her chest about how much she tells him. We also learn an interesting fact that Radmir, or Radyusha, knows Irina. They grew up together in the same place, and I guess there were some family friends or cousins that knew each other, etc.
Right. And that means he knows her background, and he knows her secrets of her dark, or at least secret from us, her dark, her Brezhnev connections, let's say.
Tanya gets to meet with Volya's handler, who shows up basically. And meanwhile, Anastasia goes to see the chief designer because she wants to know where Sasha actually went. And he comes clean and says, basically, I sent him to Venus.
Yeah. And chief designer Korolev seems, he's stunned, right? He still can't
reeling
process Volya being the source of the thing. But the evidence of him roughing up Pavel is enough.
Shaking him.
Yeah. So now he is, he's absolutely.
And there's
shaken.
A moment here, I believe, where she says, like, you should have sent me. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have. I would have avoided some problems.
Yeah. He's going to Venus. That's where he is.
Irina is still investigating because now she's got to cover her own butt as well. So she goes in to take files into the team doing the search and notices they have all her recordings.
Yeah.
She takes one and which the, I guess, you know, fortuitously, the one which Tanya discussed when she thought Volya was having an affair. And she basically isolates sort of like the detail that it was at the concert hall, et cetera. So
she's doing some legwork. She's doing her legwork. Yeah, I really like this at all, that she's like trying to figure out who would be her contact and does the whole thing of going to the symphony and interviewing the people who work at the symphony and saying, do you recognize, and going through the list of the operatives and trying to figure out who it might be and saying, do you know this woman? And finally does find the woman at the coat check or whatever who says,
oh yeah, I've seen her. She always leaves. She must not like.
She leaves at intermission.
Yeah, she always leaves at intermission.
When does she even come?
Ludmilla and the chief strategize about how to deal with containing Volya. They suggest they could get him into one of the modules and then sort of lock him in. But in order to do that, they need the help of the crew. Sasha obviously will not be inclined to help them. Volya would hear anything on the radio. So they hit upon a very clever idea, which is using Chada's husband, who they read in on the mission, to talk to her in Hindi and ask him basically to get her to do what they need to do in order to lock him in, which is a boy, a lot happening there. Obviously, Chata's husband, very distressed to find out that his wife is going to another planet for 9 months. Feel for that poor guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the sort of, it's just sort of this awkward plan of like, okay, well, we're going to tell him, but we're not going to have, we're just going to have him relay it in Hindi rather than telling him ourselves, etc. Irina is looking for the handler and following her, trails her, loses her on a bus, but she stole a briefly mentioned tracking device.
Right.
Which she has managed to plant on the handler.
So she
has a super, I love her super basic little track. It's like four blinking LEDs to tell you of which way to go.
Little box that blinks at you to tell you where
you are. This is where Chata's husband gets to talk and they have her reset the breaker. I guess Sergei has been read in here because he seems to have some, like he is partaking in this plan. And so I guess he is aware of what the chief.
I guess so.
He's helping shut down things like they're going to depressure. Like, so they basically get Valia into the module and then slowly bleed off the pressure so that it closes the door.
Yeah.
And the valve gets stuck. At which point Ludmilla starts trying to explain to Sasha and Chata what Valia has done. Sasha doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And he eventually disables the radio. Irina finds her handler, and basically follows her to an apartment building. There's a safe house. The handler, who I think his name is Ekaterina, maybe. I only know this from the captions, but, she basically tells, this was, I thought, uncommonly generous and maybe a little convenient in the plot thing where the handler does the exposition on everything about why she.
Right. I was watching you.
Tanya. Yep. Which we all knew.
Yeah.
But she has to tell Tanya so that Tanya feels bad.
Yeah.
About what she said to Valia.
Yeah. You destroyed him. No, you did. You destroyed Valia.
Rough. But I guess she's like, well, I got to get her out, but also she's not really useful to me.
Yeah.
You know, so Chata and Sasha compare notes while Valia is locked up. And Chata points out they only know that Pavel was supposedly arrested because Valia told them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And which leads to the whole, like, I know you couldn't have done this. And he's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice. They were going to hurt Tanya, basically. And right.
He gets very upset.
Yeah, it's not great.
Irina is waiting for the handler to leave, at which point she picks the lock to get into the safe house. I had my, what exactly is her plan here? Convince her? Kill her? Cover her own tracks? She is not really thinking this through, I think, entirely.
I think her plan is maybe to get her out her way instead of get her out the Americans' way.
I'm not sure that's great for Tanya, but we'll...
No.
I like the little narrative device here. There's a music box, right? You know, obviously, Tanya's a does a bunch of... Like, I think the handler mentions at one point that part of what they were watching the dissident group for when they found Tanya was her then-lover's record smuggling program.
Right, yes.
It's like one of the things they sort of watched him for.
That's
I like the music tie-ins are very...
Yeah, very much so. She tries to run and hits her with a lamp.
Hits her with a lamp. Classic. My notes say, decision made.
Yeah.
Ludmilla is in mission control. She basically...
I love this so much. She's like, because they've just disabled the cosmonauts have disabled the microphones or cut the signal.
They can't hear anything.
And she's like, why can't we hear it? Fix it. She's so mad that like these dumb nerds in mission control can't give her exactly what she wants, which I like that dynamic.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I wrote in that in my notes. I enjoy Ludmilla yelling at mission control. She tells them to depressurize the module. Otherwise, you're all going to prison.
Yeah. Yeah. This is her like being really broad and like she's kind of losing it here. This is obviously... She hates things not being in her control. She's feeling the pressure, obviously, from Moscow. She's had the new guy sent who's going to handle it all for her, which she hates.
Yeah. Spiraling.
So she's in a really difficult situation here, and so what does she do? She lashes out.
Yeah. So she basically, the chief has Sergei send the instructions and then essentially arrests the chief designer.
Yeah, there's a guy. There's a guy who looks a different guy who like is willing to do it. The guy who looks like Newman from Seinfeld.
Yeah,
he does it. He like.
Well, this is so the yeah, first they have the chief designer. Like he won't basically do it.
Yeah,
Sergei, you know, is gonna not willing to. Basically, they arrest the chief designer. At that point, Ludmilla threatens to depressurize the entire ship.
Yes, right.
And that's when she tries to tell Sergei to do it. He won't do it. She pulls a gun on him. He still turns it down, and so they get the other guy to do it. I just had a fun... There's a fun moment right here where like they're showing the guy depressurizing that. And just the way they did the close-up on all the buttons... My note was just like, it was a very funny framing because it made me look at the guy who's so nervous. And it's like, as if he's just looking at like going, oh no, they're all in Russian.
Yeah. So what's going on here, I think, is that Sergei texts a message on the back channel to the cosmonauts on how to open the hatch.
Right. Oh, yes.
While
that's
this
right.
is going
chief,
on.
The chief tells him.
And then they arrest the chief designer, and that's when I think he says, you're a monster to
her. You're a monster, yeah. It's because he doesn't want him to kill Volia, because that's essentially what they're doing, is they're just sucking all the air out, and so they want to, Sergei and Chad are trying to open the hatch, and he has Sergei basically tell him, all right, here's how to get him out.
Yeah, but then this is when it gets escalated, and now they've made it so they can hear them, they're trying to get him out, and this is where... She says, you got to stand down now or I will depressurize the entire ship. Do you understand? This is when she orders Sergei to do it, and then she tells somebody else. So we've got multiple things going on here where there's like the initial depressurization where the guy who looks like Newman does it. Sergei tries to save them. Then they turn the microphones on, and then they go ahead and they're like, okay, if you guys are going to... I mean, this is the ultimate Ludmilla, right? It's like they're going to Venus. They're out of her control, but she can still bully them and she can still basically kill them if she wants to. And she wants to, which is... I think it's so illogical, but I think part of the point of this show is that with these kind of power dynamics, these kinds of decisions that seem... Like, why would you do it this way? And the answer is because I'm in charge and people are going to do what I say.
Is the repressive totalitarian regime.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they do.
She's a KGB colonel. She's going to just do what she wants and do what she says or else.
We have a kind of a terrifying scene where they show all the various modules slowly getting depressurized as the crew is trying to, like, they get Volia out and they're trying to stop it all. And then they're like, we got to pull out basically the transceiver that's letting them control the ship from mission control, and they pull it out, and of course they yank out a bunch of wires which start to spark, and then we get a fireball, which not a great thing when you're in space.
And that's the end of the episode.
That I felt was like, boy, that was a real For All Mankind moment there. Right, space travel sure is dangerous, especially in these early days. And they just seemingly destroyed the entire ship.
Yeah,
which potentially killing two of our regulars, our cosmonaut pals.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe Volia doesn't have to deal with the repercussions of this reason.
Now I'm going to be honest. I got to the end of this episode and I turned to Lauren, just sitting on the couch watching this, and I said, "I don't think they're dead."
You know, I was on the fence getting to the end of this because. It surprised me, but the show does have a history.
It does.
Or at least the show has a history of being brutal. And also, it felt like the way especially it was shot with it, like a fireball.
I know, right?
Like, you're like, boy, it doesn't seem good.
No. No, and I don't want to, I mean, like I'm saying, this is without any advanced knowledge of what's coming next. I was just like, I'm a little skeptical of this. It is a heck of a move for them to make. And we are left with it. It's just more like... I feel like if they I don't know, it was just, it's that vibe that I get, that it's like there's another shoe to drop here somewhere, but we'll see how that goes. It's dramatic either way. It's either oh, they killed them all, or it's how did they survive. And we don't know, like, this is the cliffhanger, so we really have no more information about this. They were leaking air, and then there was a fireball. So it's real bad. And then, you know, on a broader level, like, the chief designer is under arrest. Ludmilla has ordered the deaths, essentially, of cosmonauts in space. The ramifications here, this is the complete KGB takeover of Star City, which, again, I just want to come back to it again. Why are they here? And I think part of what this story is trying to tell us is this is the great failing of a totalitarian, especially like a police state, is that in the end, the police become the means and the ends. And like the police, what the KGB wants to do is all that matters. And it's like the KGB is supposed to be a security service, but now the KGB has essentially taken over the space program and arrested the chief designer, which doesn't make any rational sense, right? But this is the Soviet
but
Union.
This is the way it works. I mean,
this is how it works.
In some ways, the space program was always almost an exception to the rule because,
right,
think about how much other stuff they had clearly locked down, right? The fact that they let them have the freedom that they had. Anyways, like, this is kind of the essential tension of this show, is they are all locked up in this place, right? In this city. They can't easily leave or come back. I mean, sometimes they can, but like, they are being secured in this place, and yet they have more freedoms in some way within this small world because they have value, and they have what they are doing is seen as accruing benefits to the Soviet Union until it isn't. And now they're starting to feel probably a little bit more about like how it feels everywhere else in the Soviet Union, where people are being cracked down upon. And some of the last bits of liberty that they had at their available to them are now being eliminated. And you're reminded, yes, just in case you forgot, this is a repressive totalitarian police state.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of telling a story like this is talking about that. It's the same reason Chernobyl, which was obviously one of the touchstones for the people who are making Star City, that's the story. Is like, it's not just a story about a disaster; it's a story about the larger disaster, which is the totalitarian Soviet society, and that's what we're getting here too.
Yeah, I thought this was a really. Again, like I said, a gripping episode. There's a lot of tension. The pace moves very quickly. I mean, in addition to all the mission control stuff, Irina trying to kind of dig her way out of a thing that she did to herself is interesting. And I was kind of surprised that it also ended on a cliffhanger, right? Like, she gets hit with a lamp and that's it. We don't see, like, Tanya's out there still.
Yeah.
Presumably. We don't really know, like, where she's going or what she's doing, and Irina is going to have to figure out how to get her way out of this increasingly difficult situation. So,
yeah, a lot of things to stay in play. Two more episodes this season, so everything is up in the air, regardless of whether my conspiracy theories are true or not. There's big things are ahead. The chief designer's under arrest. Tanya's on the lam. Yeah, what will happen next? I guess come back next week. You've come this far. Come back next week for episode 7. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week. Until then, do svidaniya, Dan.
Do svidaniya, Jason.